We have an item that only deals with the alignment of priorities with the strat plan as presented last year in October, and also the budget that we still must have. I am informed reliably so that for the budget vote we are expecting a date of the 13th, if I'm not mistaken, of April. So we still have a long way to go in preparation to that effect. But in the meantime, the acting DG will take us through that realignment, or rather alignment, the priorities that shall have been set and also expected to be signed between the minister and also the president. Am I correct? So we have such a briefing from the department, and then we will take it from there. Are we fine? Okay, thank you. The floor is yours, Mr. Tabata.
Thank you, Chair.
Can you remember? Oh, here they are.
Thank you, Chair. Good afternoon also to the members of the Portfolio Committee on Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries.
Can we all hear? Can we get the volume a little bit up? And if you can also close the door, the air conditioner is okay.
Yeah. I hope it's going to be loud enough. Is it fine? All right. Thank you. Thank you again once more for us to be allowed this opportunity to come and make our presentation that talks to our strategic plan and also looking at our budget for 2010-2011. Since our last engagement, we have again come back with another additional set of documents. I believe everybody will have got about four sets of documents with. We have got two sets of presentation. We have a document which is the budget vote, and we also have a document that is called the strategic plan. So we're going to be talking to those four documents. I will be directly going through the presentation, but in fact talking to those documents that we are having. I will look at the background, then looking at the status of the restructuring process. I will look at the government's key priority areas, and then we will then conclude our presentation. In terms of the background, we will all know that in terms of the public service regulation, the department is a receiving department, which in this case is the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries, which has to coordinate and lead the transfer process while working together with the relinquishing department. That then comes from the President's announcement of the 10th of May 2009, where the legal effect to this announcement was given by way of two presidential proclamations. The first one, published on the 1st of July 2009, assigning the functions to ministers, and the second listing new and old departments and remaining some. The latter proclamation was published in the Government Gazette on the 7th of July 2009. The practical effect of the proclamation was that a new department was created, that is the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries. We abbreviated as DAF, and that the forestry and the marine aquaculture functions must respectively transfer from Department of Water Affairs and Forestry and the Department of Environmental Affairs and Tourism to the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries. In terms of fisheries, in respect of the fisheries, the above then posed a challenge and confusion to the general public and stakeholders, as the Minister for Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries did not have the powers and functions for the totality of the fisheries mandate. In attempting to resolve this matter, the ministers mandated teams of officials led by respective DGs from Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries and the Department of Environmental Affairs and assisted by DPSA to look and manage the process and make proposal on how to resolve the whole issue. An agreement has been attained and presidential proclamation listing legislation for transfer has been published in the Government Gazette dated 10 February 2010. So as we're going to be talking to fisheries, we're going to be talking in line with that proclamation. The mandate and scope of the fishery function resonate in the following legislation, that is the Sea Fishery Act. I'm not going to go into the details of the sections and so on. And then Marine Living Resource Act, and also the regulations made in terms of the Marine Living Resource Act, and also the regulations for the protection of wild abalone made in terms of Act 1998, published in the Government Gazette of February 2008. In terms of forestry, to ensure a seamless and a continued service delivery for the Department of Water Affairs and DAF, posts utilized for the forestry line functions and support to these functions had to be identified, which means they were ring-fenced, for the transfer to DAF. For this purpose, assistance from the DPSA was also obtained. The ring-fencing process was guided by a set of formal guidelines for the national microorganizations of the state. And then the ring-fencing of posts was dependent on the defining of the scope of the forestry function. The mandate and the scope of the forestry function resonates in the following legislation, that is the Management of the State Forest Act, the National Forest Act, and the National Felt and Forest Fire Act. So those are the three that resonate in this legislation. Currently, the status in terms of the restructuring, the Marine and the Coastal Management Division transfers has encountered some difficulties and consultations are ongoing to resolve this. The proposed DAF structure is going through the consultation process. Then the emphasis of the new organizational structure is to directly contribute to or on achieving government's five key priorities. The implementation of the new structure is also aimed for 1 April 2010. To begin with the vision, a leading, dynamic, united, prosperous, and people-centered sector. That is going to be our vision as we move forward in terms of this sector. Our mission will be achieved through developing and sustaining a sector that contributes and embraces, number one, economic growth, secondly, job creation, thirdly, rural development, sustainable use of natural resources, and food security. So these are the key elements that in terms of the priorities that we're going to be looking at and saying we're going to be keeping all these in mind, and they have to embrace all our actions in terms of moving this sector forward. I'm not going to go into the details of the drive, but the drive is driven to deliver excellent service. That's what we are committing ourselves to. The attitude being an ambitious, passionate, reliable, and dedicated workforce, taking from what the State of the Nation address has indicated to us, we have also to deal with fairness, acting with objectivity, empathy, integrity, and transparency, and then focusing on people, economic, and rural development. So this is going to be our focus area. We will look at the people, will be driven by the economic factors, and we'll also look at rural development itself. we have agreed in about four strategic objectives. Number one is to increase profitable production on food, fiber, and timber products by all categories of the producers, that is subsistence, smallholder, and commercial. So we're looking at increased profitable production. We want to increase profitable production. Right? That is the goal. Then, firstly, we say we want to promote efficient production, handling, and processing of food, fiber, and timber. Secondly, to coordinate government food security initiatives. Thirdly, to improve production systems anchored in commodities with a competitive and comparative advantage in each province, which means each province will be given those commodities that are doing very well in those provinces. And fourthly, the comprehensive support towards rural development will be our strategic objective. The next goal of sustainable management of natural resources, we're going to be looking at four also, to promote environmentally sustainable production systems, to ensure the sustainable management of efficient use of natural resources, to ensure the protection of indigenous genetic resources, and increase the contribution of greening jobs to improve livelihoods. That is in terms of the sustainable management of natural resources goal. Thirdly, effective national regulatory service and risk management systems. We've got two strategic objectives: to promote safe food by managing the level of risk associated with the food, disease, pest, natural disaster, and trade, and also to establish and maintain effectively early warning and mitigating systems that we'll be encountering as we proceed. Then we said we're also looking at a transformed and united sector, which also has got four strategic objectives which are very key. I'm not going to go into the details of each one of them, but they are key in terms of our deliveries. Then the fifth one is increased contribution to the sector to economic growth and development. We want to increase growth, income, and sustainable job opportunities in the value chain. So we are saying not only in the production, but we are looking at the entire value chain of all the contribution that we are talking about. So we also say increased level of public and private investment in the sector. We'll be working around that. We also talk to increase market access for South Africa and Africa in general in terms of agriculture, forestry, and fishery products domestically and also internationally. We also want to increase production of feedstock to support the manufacturing sector and also to promote the use of feedstock by products for renewable energy. Then the sixth one is the effective and efficient government. I'm not going to go into the details of this one, but we are saying here we want to do the business in a effective and efficient manner, so that when we do our planning, our monitoring and evaluation, they get informed by the plans that we are putting in place. And then the alignment of strategic goals to the MTSF. We all know that there is a current document of the MTSF that prioritizes activities that we need to go. And then all we are saying here is that we've done a proper alignment of all these strategic goals to the priority areas that are expected of us to deliver on, and so that we develop a synchronization in terms of delivery of all these issues that we are engaging on. We are also going into all of them as we have indicated the strategic goals. We indicate and show how strategically we are aligning the two so that we are able to talk to the medium-term expenditure framework and aligning these strategic goals that we have. Therefore, we are saying we are going to be talking to these following programs. So the first one, which we are proposing in terms of our new organogram, is a program called Corporate Services. We are also saying stakeholder relations and legal services. We're going to have a chief financial officer. We've got a food security, agrarian, and marine reform. The next one is policy planning, monitoring, and evaluation. Agriculture production, health, and food safety is going to be another one. Then we're going to have fisheries and coastal management. Then we've got economic development, trade, and marketing. And lastly, we've got forestry, production, and resource management. So those are the key areas that we are saying is going to be guiding in terms of programs of all our activities that we're going to be dealing with. Then our focus areas in terms of funding options and models. We have engaged in negotiations with the Land Bank, the IDC, and commercial banks, international donors to establish and implement joint venture funding models. So these models are the ones that we begin to pull together this funding so that we can make meaningful impact wherever we're investing in terms of development of the sector. We're also saying we provide incentives for the establishment of private sector microfinancing institutions, especially in the rural areas, so that we are able to deal with. The other area of sustainable use of natural resources, we're saying we'll develop and implement a strategy for sectoral decent green jobs to ensure food security and sustainable livelihoods in rural and peri-urban and also in urban areas in this regard. We're also saying as a focus area, we'll strengthen the implementation of human resources development strategies within ourselves. So we are saying also we've realized that we've got a challenge in terms of skills. Most of the jobs that we need to do, we have a challenge of scarce skills, and then we want to engage in a scarce skills development program with the domestic and international partners for the next 3 to 5 years so that we are able to deal with the sector. We've got challenges in the agriculture, in the forestry, and also in the fisheries in terms of the scientists that are required to perform certain functions and so on. The other area which is very critical is the facilitation of the development and implementation of the sectoral employment generation programs. We're saying it's very critical for us. We're going to be engaging on it and make sure that we deliver in that area. And then also we want to intensify a cooperative development program to establish viable and sustainable rural cooperatives that are capable to engage in a number of areas, of which disbursement of credit is one of them. To deal with issues of dealing with your production inputs and also to deal with the processing and also distribution and marketing of those produce. So we are saying that is a strategic area for us to deal with and be able to attend to those issues. Then we'll also look at the implementation programs to create on-farm infrastructure that will contribute to the number of issues. One of them is productive employment of poor people in the rural areas, development of the rural economies, integrated and marginal economic activities into sectoral development zones, and expansion of opportunities for production and processing, access to markets and production inputs, and also development initiatives to the targeted areas. So we are saying these are the areas that we begin to focus with them. Now, in the document that we have, we've got more details in terms of saying what are the activities that we're going to engage in terms of the areas. And also we want to look at the expanding of the export through enhanced inter-Africa trade and the overall increase in productivity. So we're saying strengthening of the capacity, dealing with Africa itself, it's a very critical area so that we can have trade relations with African countries, in particular the SADC countries, which are in the close proximity with us. And then access to affordable food and export expansion, we also say we want to go into integration of the agrarian reform enterprises to the overall commercial export producers in terms of infrastructure. And we are saying we want to also to enhance a number of areas in dealing with affordable food and export. So we want to balance the two, so that we are in a position to deal with them, export and deal with the issue of food security at the same time, becomes a priority area for us. Implementing human resource development program, I've already indicated to that. We are already looking at the outcry of the unemployed youth, specifically in the country. We are saying we want to begin to target through pre-settlement support, identify potential farmers, specifically your women and the youth, where that will be dedicated in dealing with the kind of training and the production relevant to marketing, managerial, and processing skills for these groupings that are very critical. And we also want to do an inducted extension officers program that deals with our own technicians to be able to provide extension services to the to this group of farmers that we're going to be dealing with. Then coming to the structure, we're going to go to indicate to you that the proposal in terms of the structure is what we have presented last time. We're proposing about nine branches of the structure, which is going to be led as those programs were presented to you, the corporate services, our finance branch, and the stakeholder relations and legal, policy planning and monitoring, economic development and trade and marketing, food security and agrarian reform, agricultural production, health and food safety, forestry, resources and management, and the last one will be our fisheries and coastal management. So these are the key areas that will then begin to assist us to implement those strategies that we are highlighting to you that we want to begin and engage and make sure we deliver those services in line with this. Chair, I'm not going to go into the details of each of those. I'm just going to go on top. This one is going to be the office of the DG. It's going to have internal audit and risk management, executive support, risk management, and then also have internal audit and investigation. So this is going to be the setup that is going to assist the office of the DG in terms of making sure that it delivers on the issues that were raised in the structure. The corporate services will deal with issues. We'll have our security services reporting directly there. And then we're going to have two chief directors, one chief director dealing with the human resource development and management, and the one chief director dealing with which we call chief information officer. Now, your human resource deal with your issues of recruitment, replacement, employer relations, and employee development and performance management, whereas your information chief director deals with knowledge management and archives, information communication and technology, and deal with facility management. So this is an inward-looking kind of an arrangement to make sure that we are able to deliver and we've got the support internally in terms of delivering the services that we want to deliver. And then in terms of the finance, we are proposing that there be two chief directors. The one deals with the financial management in the department, and the other one deals with development finance. Now, development finance is the one that is targeting our development going out there, making the money available to those projects that we are dealing with. The internal one, that is financial management, deals with your budget and reporting, revenue management, supply chain management, and financial administration. Whereas the development finance, we're saying we will have agrarian and marine reform funds, and we're also talking about the development finance and management, which is going to become our development finance. So this is the kind of the one-stop shop in terms of financing, where you're going to pull all your funds together in a one-stop shop so that you are in a position to provide support to all your programs and projects that you are dealing with in terms of financing of those projects and programs. Then we also proposing the branch called Stakeholder Relations and Legal Services. It's going to have also two chief directors, the one legal services. Now, the legal services is being expanded because of the main reason that we've got to do a lot of review in terms of legislation. There's a lot of legislation that we have to deal with and make sure that they are able to assist us to deliver. Then the legislative services and the legal support becomes very critical. And then on the other side, stakeholder relations and communication is very key. It will deal with communication, stakeholder and public liaison, and then your intergovernmental relations. That will be the branch on stakeholder relations and legal services. The next branch that is going to deal with policy planning, monitoring and evaluation becomes very critical, that it has been realized that in a number of years that we have not been in a position to make follow-up on and implement projects and be able to do our monitoring and evaluation where we have put resources. So we are coming up with a branch that is going to provide that support. So it's going to perform two functions, monitoring and evaluation, where we're going to be spending money, where we make sure that all the intended actions are being achieved. And then on the other side, we're going to be dealing with policy development and planning. So we want to have a dedicated team that is going to deal with our policy issues in terms of development and also working on the planning, which means our projects and so on that we're going to be engaging on. On the monitoring and evaluation, we've got organizational performance, so we're going to do a performance of the organization. We'll also look at the provincial, the SOEs, which is the our state-owned enterprises' performance in terms of monitoring. So we won't monitor ourselves only, but we'll also monitor the performance of the provinces and also the state-owned enterprises in terms of those actions that have been allocated to them. And then lastly, we will have then under monitoring and evaluation statistics and economic analysis. As we move forward, we need to understand what impact are we making, what statistics are we making, better improvement in terms of the numbers of people that are there, or are we going down in terms of those the jobs that we are creating and so on. So we want to have a unit that deals with those areas of statistics and economic analysis. Then on the policy development and planning, we're going to have got three areas there: strategic planning, we'll look at program development and support, and then lastly, policy research and development. So those are the three areas that we deal with, our policy development and planning. So this is a new area that we actually did not have before, and we want to make sure that the monitoring and the planning receives the attention it deserves. Economic development, trade and marketing, we're proposing in that area three chief directors: international relations and trade, the one is cooperative and rural enterprise development, and the other one is agro-processing and marketing. Under the international relations and trade, we will have somebody that looks at the SAGET and the Africa relations. We'll have one that deals with international trade, and then we'll have one that deals with the Americas, the Australians, and the Europeans, also including the Middle East. So that strategically, in terms of economic development and trade, we are well positioned to identify critical markets, and we are able to trade with those countries. And then cooperative and rural development enterprises, there are three areas that we want to deal with there. Your cooperative development, we are prioritizing. Your rural enterprise development, we are prioritizing, and your BBEE charters compliance in terms of making sure that those charters that are in place, we are implementing them, and so on, in your forestry area, in your agriculture area, and in your fishery area, to make sure that we deal with this area and we are targeting it. And then in terms of the agro-processing and marketing, we are looking at three areas: your domestic marketing, want to look at international marketing, and then also specifically look at agro-processing, dedicated a section that looks at the agro-processing that we are having so that we can begin to add the value into the product. The one that deals with food security and agrarian reform. It's going to have three chief directors. The one that deals with food security, we're going to have one that deals with the sector capacity development, and one that deals with the national extension support service. On the food security one, we're going to look at subsistence farming, we look at smallholder development, and then we look at the provision of inputs, implement, and the infrastructure support for these people to be able to graduate and move to the commercial sector. Then the one on the sector capacity development, we are looking at the sector education and training. And then that's the kind of training that we need our clients to have. Then the second one is the sectoral colleges. We know that we've got a number of agricultural colleges that we have to make sure that they are functioning properly. And then we've got the sector transformation and gender mainstreaming, which becomes very critical for us to be able to look at the targeted areas in terms of transformation. Then the last part, which is the National Extension Support Service, it will deal with your national extension reform. We have to deal with the extension services to make sure that it makes the impact and the support that it should provide to the farming sector, to the forestry, and to the fisheries. We did not have this section before, but we felt that it was very critical for the national department to have a national extension reform program that provides the support to the provincial extension services. Then the national extension support then becomes the package program that puts up the programs and provides the capacity, the training, and so on, so that we are in a position to provide the comprehensive support to extension services. Agricultural production, health, and food safety is going to also have got three chief directors. That's the inspection service and food safety, your plant production and health, and also your animal production and health. The inspection services, those is mostly our regulatory services. It deals with inspection and quarantine service. It deals with food safety and quality assurance. It deals with agricultural input control, and then your food import and export standards. And then your plant production and health deals with your plant production, plant health, and genetic resources. Then your animal production and health deal with your animal production, your veterinary public health, and also your animal health. So this entire branch then deals with your issues of health and food safety in terms of regulating and also contributing to the production of those resources. Then the next one is your forestry production and resource management, also three chief directors. There's one that deals with forestry operations, there's one that deals with forestry development, and then resource management. Your forestry operations, you're looking at the Eastern Cape. Those are the major forestry areas, your KwaZulu-Natal and your Mpumalanga and Limpopo. Those were separated because they deal with major forestry. And then the others, which have got smaller forests with the potential for development, is the Western Cape, Free State, Northwest, Northern Cape, and the Gauteng. And those were grouped together because they are smaller forest areas. And then your forestry development looks at the commercial forest, it looks at the small-scale forest, and also look at forestry oversight. So those three areas will be a forestry development. And then the last one in terms of the forestry will be your resource management. Now, resource management is actually the integration of all resource management in the department. This is the function that the oversight function of it is provided by the Department of Environmental Affairs with Water Affairs currently. Then that section looks at the woodlands and the indigenous forest forest land management. It looks at water use, irrigation, and irrigation development. It looks at the climate change, risk and disaster management. It also looks at land use and soil management. So those are the four critical areas that the resource management is going to be looking at in terms of enhancing sustainable production of all those areas. Then the last part will be your marine fisheries and coastal management. This is the portion that we would say it's not complete to the totality, pending decisions that might still further be taken, but currently this is the proposal that we have put in place. We're proposing four chief directors, the marine and coastal coastal and aquaculture resource management, the monitoring, control and surveillance, integrated coastal management, and the last one is marine research. Under your marine, coastal, and aquaculture resource management, you've got your offshore and your high seas resource management. Then you have your aquaculture production, and then your inshore fisheries management. Then under the monitoring, control, and surveillance, you've got your compliance issues, your environmental protection vessels, and then you've got monitoring and surveillance areas. Under integrated coastal management is your marine aquaculture and your coastal management issues. Then the last one, which is your marine research, we'll look at research support, we'll look at biodiversity and ecosystems research, and then lastly, your resource research. So those are the areas that we are putting up and proposing on the basis of fisheries. Given that, Chair, we are looking with the exclusion of the fisheries in terms of the staffing. We were proposing that, given the current situation, we are proposing that there should be one DG on the department. With the current eight DDGs, which include forestry currently, We are proposing that there should be 9 DDGs. With the 24 chief directors, we're proposing that there should be 26 chief directors. With the directors, which were 75, we're proposing one more, which is going to be 76. And then with the total of 108, we'll end up with a total structure of about 112, so that we are in a position to implement these activities in line with this proposed structure that we are doing. Given these numbers, we are saying we will then be in a position to implement the strategic issues that we have presented to this meeting. The last part that I want to present before we conclude is the budget. It's going to be very short and precise, and then we can then conclude. Thank you, Chair. Very quickly, we'll take you through the estimate of the national expenditure for 2010-11, which is Vote 25, Agriculture, Forestry, and Fisheries. That's the one. We'll do a quick summarized version of that document, which is the NDE allocation for 2010-2011. Right. What we're going to give to you, the MTEF allocation, which is 1.972264, it's about 1.9, and then which brings in Landcare with it, which is a conditional grant. We bring in PASP, which is also a conditional grant. We bring in Ilimalitima, which is also a conditional grant. We then bring in the compensation of employees as adjusted in terms of the National Agricultural Marketing Council of about 2.8. Then we bring the compensation of employment in terms of adjustment, which is about 39.6. And then we bring also on board the adjustment of the Agricultural Research Council, which is about 14.7. We bring in forestry, which is 551. We bring in fisheries, which is 122,418. And all these then given together, less the baseline efficiency saving, in terms of the department, it's about 162. And then in terms of the baseline efficiency saving of the ANAMC, it's 475. And then the total of appropriation then becomes 3.6 billion. That's the overall amount given all the figures that I've just gone through, allow us to have an appropriation of 3.6 billion. The summer repair program, very quickly, we are giving you the 2009 and 10 and the 10-11 figures and also the percentage increase. In terms of administration, we are getting 6.5% in terms of the increase. Production and resource management, you realize there it looks like it's huge, but it's because of the integration between the three sectors now that then begins to deal with a number of issues. Agricultural support service, the increment is about 2.1. Trade and agricultural development, 4.7 increment. Food safety and biosecurity is 8.5. Forestry, we were not in a position to determine what increment is there because of the new integration, but we will endeavor to make sure that we provide this figure so that it shows the impact that is going to be happening. In terms of the fisheries, again, we have exposure of the budget that is coming into the coming financial year, but we also going to be provided with the figure that we are able to see whether it's going up or it's going down. And then these are the allocation. You'll see that in the previous years, which exclude fisheries and forestry, it was 2.7 billion. Currently, with the inclusion of forestry and fisheries, we are going to 3.6 billion. Compensation of employees accounts to about 76.1, and then goods and services 47.8, interest and rent on land is about 1.3 million that goes there. Then transfers and subsidies, these are the money that we are transferring to our parastatals. It accounts to that much, and the payments for capital assets is about 47.9 for the coming financial year, and then that is the balance also that talks to the same balance. In terms of the nominal term, excluding the transfer payments, forestry and fisheries, this has been the performance. In terms of the vote, you will see that there has been growth, and that growth is now stabilizing. It's no longer going as we would expect. The difference that it's making in terms of the growth is very limited. Although it has been taking a curve, but a very slight curve in terms of increasing. But we are also saying this increment talks to these seven programs that we are having. The white one is your agricultural support. So that's the one that has got the major share in terms of program allocation, in terms of percentages. And then all these programs are allocated in terms of these percentages that you are presenting there. And then also looking at the cost center, in terms of compensation, interest, and so on, you realize that the bigger share of the money goes to transfer and subsidies. That accounts for about 51% of the budget. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, DG. We did talk about a need to get a bigger venue. I'm sure Bulelwa, you'll agree with me that next time we meet, we need a bigger venue. Why we need a bigger venue is because the department, you know, when you talk about it, it also brings on board its agencies every time they come to Parliament. So, and of course, the number of members of Parliament, also from other committees, that show interest in this committee. Maybe in future, DG, we need to stop using the word clients when you talk about our people out there. There is a very serious ideological issue on that one. And once it gets into our minds, it can create a very bad precedent for us as agencies expected to implement programs of an ANC-led government. The ideological issue, you know, would emerge as we relate as officials with our people out there. Hence, in some other departments and also agencies of government, the relationship is so bad, you know, because of this very issue. These are clients, you know. We've got nothing to do, you know, with them. It's very important. I guess that is the first and the last time that we hear that word used in a meeting of this nature. There is a report, members. Mr. Tutoi agrees with me on that client, you know, service relationship. It becomes, you know, other parties that really express such, you know. Any bite on a preliminary note? Okay, I saw a hand from Mama Mabuza, and then I see you.
Chairperson, thank you very much. Chairperson, there are two issues that I want to be clarified on. Oh, thank you. Chairperson, on page 33 on the structure, there's cooperatives development and also rural enterprises development. Can I be explained what the difference is between those two? And also, Chairperson, on the structure, I don't hear anything on commercial farmers. And again, on the last page of proposed structure, the DG indicated that this structure excludes fisheries. And Chairperson, Department of Environmental Affairs has got plus minus 1,800 employees, if I'm not mistaken, and 600 employees will be forwarded to Department of Agriculture, if I'm not mistaken. And I'd like to know from the DG whether this structure that he's presenting to us, are the 600 employees already included in this structure? And if they are not included in this structure, Chairperson, there's going to be exodus. Because this structure is going to bulge, going to be too big, DG, if the 600 are not yet included in this very structure. And the Chairperson, I'd also like to know whether the fisheries budget that has been presented here is the one that is from Environmental Affairs or has been transferred from Environmental Affairs to Agriculture. I just want to be clarified there. Chairperson, I'll come back.
Thank you, Chairman. In general, short oversight we had here, I don't think I made a lot of notes on the structure, so I think we're working on a good base here. It's very logic for me at this point. But I have some concerns which I maybe, DG, would just like to point out, and they could speak to me on that. The first one is the 3 to 6 months training that is referred to. I am not certain that the skills that you want to train people on any level will take 3 to 6 months, you know, to give any person a basic knowledge or good enough knowledge to make decisions in his Maybe I understand the level you want to train the people to, but what you mentioned there, I think 3 to 6 months is definitely too short. Maybe speak to me on that one. The other one is the microfinancing is a bit of a concern at this point, because the, as we know, the land bank was a problem at one point, and I think if we look at financing loans and things, the question comes to mind, shouldn't we manage such a entity better before we go into micro-lending type of thing? Maybe you would just explain to me what your plan is there. The next one is that the biggest threat to forests and fisheries, to my mind, forests, I think, as an ordinary member of the public, the perception is that it's fires because it destroys years of investment. The other one is, similarly with your fisheries, overfishing or poaching, whatever it may be. Those two threats, to me, I think maybe you could just allude it that what are we doing? Do we have enough budget on the prevention and the fighting of fires? Because I've attended the fire that's been fought in the Franschhoek area, and I must say that it's quite extensive damage to nature there. And the other one is the fisheries. I'm not certain whether we have enough vessels to patrol the high seas poaching, you would say, from other countries. And of course, then the offshore thing. So we need to address that. The next concern I have is, are all the hardware, software systems in place and the skills in place to facilitate this new structure? Because if we do not have it now, it would be very costly in time for training and to get systems that's integrated. You can't work with three former departments, and now you have to integrate the system, the software and the hardware system. So that's one concern I have. And the other one is just the dramatic increase in employees, or I think 67% is very quick. Those are the only concerns I have at this point. It's a lengthy list, but I would appreciate if you could have some clarification on that. Thank you.
I take it that for now we only have those two,
The last one.
Yes, ma'am.
Chairperson, on production. Chairperson, on production and resources management. 450 million. So, Chairperson, on that score, I would like to know the DG to give us the details of how much of food is produced by a household or within the country through its intervention in giving out, whether that seeds or whatever a support that is given. Can I really check if on food security, what they are trying to do, is there any production? Because we cannot just waste money and nothing is harvested. For instance, in Mueche, seeds were given out in Mueche. By giving out those seeds, is there any good outcome of that distribution? That's what I want to know.
Maybe linked to that question, TG, you did raise something about coordination of food security initiatives. Coming up in my mind also would be initiatives by other departments. I know for a fact that social development also is seriously engaged in such initiatives. There are obviously other initiatives elsewhere. If you do have any, you know, collation of such a data, and as to how effective is that coordination expected, or is, as we speak now, because there is obviously going to be a problem as time goes in terms of such coordination of such initiatives. Were in the literally spread all over, and especially also in provinces, because you're going to find this department on tourism and also you know, social development, wealth, agriculture is expected to be the real, you know, function that follows, you know, agriculture or food areas. We'll take the only last one from Mama Phyllis Masana, and then we'll come in. The very last one.
Thank you, Chairperson. On page 30, budget and reporting. I just want to...
Page 30 of what, Mama?
Page.
Of the presentation?
Yes.
Okay.
On budget and reporting. I just want to find out from the DG or department, how often will they do it, on monthly basis or quarterly or weekly? How are they going to report on this?
Deborah?
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, the department is planning to spend a significant amount of money on contractors. It's an increase from 15.9 million in 2009-10 to 94.7 million for the year under discussion. And at the same time, it has also allocated additional funding to increase personnel for temporary staff and interns, and also to improve skills capacity of the existing personnel. A similar question there was also asked in June 2009, and the department promised to send a written response to the committee, which I haven't had sight of. Can they please explain this? And secondly, Chair, out of all the unemployed people in our country, 73% are young people. And can you give us a detailed response on the progress of the youth in agriculture and rural development, the YARD program, and how the department plans to address unemployment among the youth? Chairperson, many of the issues that have been raised in the strat plan. It's good to have big ideas and targets and what have you. But what one needs to remember is that if one looks at the ARC, the ARC is going through a severe capacity problem. You have in our country an organization which was previously called the South African Studbook Association, now called, I think, Studbook South Africa. And these people have been working in tandem with the ARC with regard to animal improvement, the registration of animals, and that sort of stuff. And there are at the moment grave problems facing the entire livestock industry in our country. In fact, if there are no urgent interventions, it may well happen that the Australian organization Breedplan could become a major provider of the type of services that Studbook South Africa, in conjunction with ARC, were providing. Now, I see very little mention made, of an important industry like the livestock industry, which provides, by the way, 43% of your total agricultural output in the country. Can you tell us, in what way are you going to be able to turn around this capacity problem? Because without research and development, You cannot hope to develop agriculture. And then, Chair, there is this other difficulty With regard to the budget itself, a significant amount naturally is going towards the payment of salaries. And you are targeting a number of issues in your plans. How do you hope to achieve those outcomes of the targets that you're setting yourself? You know, they say talk is cheap, but money buys the whiskey. So if a significant percentage goes towards salaries, how are we going to meet the actual outcomes? If you could perhaps give us an explanation on that. And for the present, Chair, a final one would be that, you know, when one plans new targets for a new year, in private business, what one would look at is how did we fare? Where are the challenges? Where are the shortcomings? How do we turn around the business so that it makes a profit? And the profit we are looking for here is to see that our people are able to produce food, not only to sustain themselves, but also to make money out of it. They graduate from becoming, from being subsistence to smallholders, and eventually towards commercial people. Now that is, to my mind, what the business would look at. Now, in this particular instance, can you now tell us whether you've done an environmental scan of your situation in the country at the moment, how you intend arresting that situation, changing it around, so that we have successes? Well, I want to remind you that the majority of land reform cases, majority of restitution cases are in the doldrums. I mean, it is no secret. They are in the doldrums. There are great challenges. What is your plan? Because your job starts after the restitution takes place, after land reform beneficiary or whatever gets going on a piece of land, your job starts. And you have also got capacity challenges with regard to an important element, and that is extension services. What are you doing to see that you arrest the situation? Thank you, Chairperson.
Members, I forgot to mention earlier on that we have been extended an invitation by Committee on Trade and Industry at 3:30 at E249. This is an invitation on the Industrial Policy Action Plan. Minister Robert Davis will be addressing. If you go through, I would imagine we did receive copies of that IPAP document. There are other sections there that relate directly with our work as part of that whole industrial policy action plan. It would be quite an enlightening exercise, in my view, that after here, we do find time to go there, if we do have time, of course, as individual members of this committee. It would be appreciated, I would imagine. Okay, sorry, DG, if you don't mind, just come back to us with your team.
We'll get the second bite.
Anna?
Will we get the second bite of yeah. Question? Okay.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I'm going to respond here, and I'll give some of my colleagues to respond directly to some of these questions. The first question that I have that deals with in terms of the structure, to explain what's the difference between the cooperative and rural enterprise, Richard will be the first respondent, is going to cover that one. And then the issue of not seeing the commercial farmers on the plan. The area where we deal with the issues of the different enterprises, it's all inclusive in terms of commercial and farmers and the emerging sector. All we are saying is that there is a target group that we want to specify in terms of dealing with the other issues, they are included, but you want to specifically deal with the your smallholder kind of farmers and your subsistence specifically. That's why we are then highlighting them to say this kind of a program is going to deal with them, provide them support so that they can graduate to the commercial sector. When they go to the commercial sector, then they get the kind of support and services that we then targeting for the sector, which is your research, which is your support in terms of trade and marketing, and also the kind of support in terms of that we are giving to the stakeholders in general that is in the sector. So they are included in our plan. We're just targeting on the small ones because they are specifically for the graduation part. Right. The numbers in terms of fisheries, we haven't yet brought in the numbers because we have to do a split in terms of the agreement that we have now. We have to split them, and we all that has happened is the budget that has been allocated to us, but the split of personnel has not yet been finalized. So we are not sure whether we're getting the whole 600 or not. We still have to go into an exercise so that when we speak to the proclamation, if it says we've got to split research, then we have to go there and agree what is the content of the split versus the budget that has been allocated. So that's the exercise that we have to engage. That's why then I was indicating that we've got the budget, but the numbers in terms of personnel are not included in terms of fisheries. We still have to go through that exercise. So the budget has been allocated, but the personnel, we still have to deal with that. The 3 to 6 month kind of training, this is on-the-job training. This is the training that we are saying those people that have been provided support and they are on the farm, we're saying we're going to provide them support for this period of time, intensive kind of training on the job, so that they are able to understand how the decisions are taken on the farm, how issues are run on a day-to-day basis, so that we give them that kind of capacity so that they are able to proceed.
Chairman, just to on that one, you have to take into consideration the seasons, because at different times of the year, different things happen on a farm. For instance, if your 3 to 6 months includes pruning the vines, but you're not including the harvest time or the application of insecticide, then the guy's not going to know how to mix it. So you've got to take into account the seasonal thing. So I'd rather say look at 12 months and not 6 months.
Can I also make a follow-up? Chairperson, I want to make a follow-up on the issue of commercial farmers, where they are saying they are targeting the smaller holders. I'm not against that. I want to make it clear. But my problem is that, Chairperson, this is a worrying factor. We are talking about food security. To say if the commercial farmers are also not seriously supported, are we as South Africa going to manage the issue of food security? Now, I want to ask that one, because it, to me, it's a worrying factor. And also the issue of personnel from fisheries. If you have completed your structure, the structure is there, how are you going to merge them? Is it going to be a cut and paste sort of a thing to say, hey, when I shall, hey, when I am a mo, what's going to happen? Can we be? Because I don't understand if it's just a round figure, if plus minus 600 people will migrate to your department, how are you going to control it while you have completed your structure? I'm just an ordinary woman from a rural place in Limpopo, so I want to be, to understand some of these things. I want to be clarified on them.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Maybe to revert back to these areas that has follow up. The 6 months training, it is not a continuous training. It is broken depending on what activities are happening in terms of the enterprise. So pulled together, it forms 6 months, but it's not a one period up to 6 months, then you cut it. It could be 2 months, another 2 weeks, and so on, so that it covers a long-term period, but together it adds to 6 months. Mr. Mithi will give us the details of in terms of the structure. But what is happening in terms of the forest is that the structure that we've gone through is a high-level structure. Is the one that we have to submit to the DPSA. The details of the rest below the management level is the one that is within the department that carries the number. But Mithi will give us the details of how it actually works in terms of that one. Mr. Yuan will then follow after Mithi, and he will give an explanation in terms of the figures, the budget figures, including the microfinancing and production. The issue of forestry in terms of a threat, Mr. Toba will give us an indication on that one. I'm trying to go quickly in those ones that I must directly respond on. He will also deal with the issues of the vessels in terms of the fishery management and the regulatory function. Andre is going to give us a response on that one. Richard is going to also deal with the issues of the hardware. I'm just trying to allocate so that we deal with them. We don't leave anything out. Yuan will also deal with the issue of employees in terms of numbers, the increase. And the budget reporting also to him. Deal with the contractors in terms of the allocation of the budget and also the additional funding for the staff. And then the issue of the youth, the 79%, and also the activation of the yard. I think we're going to cover most of the questions that includes the target. The one that I must deal with is the issue of the capacity of the extension service. As a country, we've realized that we have a challenge in terms of the capacity of the extension service to provide services to the farmers on the ground. Hence, we are coming up with a rehabilitation program for the extension services so that it's in a position to respond to the needs on the ground. Because currently, we have an outcry. So the extension recovery plan has been put in place so that it deals with the issues of providing support to the extension services. We believe with the training and the provision of support, backup support to the extension services, they should be in a position to provide the required service to that. So there is an engagement in terms of that, in terms of providing that. We are also having a program that we are engaging with the colleges and the universities in providing the necessary technical support that might be lacking. And then over and above that technical capacity, we're saying we have to provide them with a support service so that they are in a position to provide the services to the farmers on the ground. We make sure that they have all the tools that they need to provide that support. Richard?
Well, a question that was relating to the difference in cooperative development and rural enterprise development. Well, in this case, we were looking broadly into the three sectors of agriculture, forestry, and fisheries. And the thinking thereof then was that in terms of farmers, cooperatives is mainly to organize farmers on the basis of the interest. It could be input, it could be finance, it could be, and it's broadly across the country. But now if you look at forestry and fisheries, say an example of sawmillers, some are individual business entrepreneurs. In that particular case, they might require then a dedicated direct interaction. So hence now we're talking about rural enterprise development. They would be located in rural areas, but they might be individuals or a group of two or so. So whereas cooperatives are broadly a bigger grouping, and it is based on a different interest altogether. And moving on to the question around hardware, software, if I understood it correctly, it was relating to the skills.
Well, I was a bit concerned whether if you shuffle your organigram, you might have to put people from one little block to another block, and they don't have that specific skills or knowledge of the law that's pertaining to it. That's the one thing I was concerned. And the other one was that if all the departments are now under one department or the sub-departments getting pulled in, fisheries and so forth, are the hardware and the software systems compatible, and can they link and work? That's because there has been problems in the world about that. So it was that one, and then the skills.
Well, why don't we do it this way? Because there is still pending issues on the whole proclamation and movement of staff. We really don't pin on that specific detail. Rather, we get the global picture, as it were, for now. Otherwise, we'll really be bogged down to details that we don't have answers ourselves to, including the department.
Okay. Chairman, I did not expect the finest detail. My concern was just if they had a plan in place and if they think it is a major shift, a 10% shift of people, or maybe a 20% or 30% shift, I don't know.
Okay.
Chairperson, I will keep on bothering the DG. DG, page 33.
Is that a follow-up?
No, it's not a follow-up, it's a new question.
It's a
new question, Chairperson.
It doesn't conclude on the responses.
Oh.
And then in terms of the plan, around there are subcommittees that were put together which were looking at the integration of the components that are coming into agriculture. And part of their mandate was to investigate all these issues that have been raised as to how will that affect the department. There was a specific task team that was working on the IT systems. And the director responsible visited the affected department to go and understand the current systems that they are running on. It could be email, it could be GIS systems or any other, and put together the report that will indicate how much money will be required. We've advanced in some where there's now one new common email for everybody else, including our internet platform. So there are such plans in place, if I have to be brief.
Thanks. If you can also try and be a bit on the speed in our responses.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, DG. Mine is on the budget and all the financial issues. The one that came from the member in terms of the budget and reporting, who is the reporting? The reporting is in terms of the PFMI, and it is in terms of your expenditure reporting to the executive authority in terms of the PFMI, being the minister, and then also monthly reporting on expenditure to National Treasury, and gathering information for the financial statements to be able to compile a financial statement. That's on the reporting side, and the budget side is through the full cycle of budgets in terms of National Treasury frameworks. Coming to the contractors of Honourable Member...
the man that you buy a mulekit.
Yes. Abrams. Honourable Member Abrams, The report has been completed, but it is a comprehensive report. It is a lot of information that we had to gather through working through files. Now, the acting CFO, Mr. Shoshayo, at the moment is working through the report to get the report in a more consumer-friendly framework for the committee. So the report will be submitted to the committee in due course. We are finalizing that report, I mean, in terms of the information has been gathered, but the report will be then submitted for the committee's use. Then, in terms of the payment of salaries, it is true, if you take our budget into account, 51% is transfer payments, and then 31%, is the second largest portion, Mr. Chair, is for the payment of salaries. That is true, that is the composition of the budget. If I can go to the question that relates to microfinancing, the land bank. The land bank, in terms of the department's endeavors at the moment, the MAFISA program, as was announced by the President in 2002 in the SONA address of the $1 billion, that was transferred to the land bank, and in terms of accredited agents, eight agents, that program is continued. But on the other hand, in terms of new needs of the development farmers, the model that was proposed by the three cabinet ministers, the Minister of Rural Development, the Minister of Finance, and the Minister of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries, is now being presented to cabinet. And in terms of the model, the department did make the proposal how to co-fund that model. That is then to deal with the distressed farmers at land bank. And in the same hand, in terms of our structure and the strategic plan has been proposed, we are working on a one funding facility to deal with the development farmers. Then on the food production in program 2, the $449 million, in terms of that program, there's also a big portion that goes for transfer payments and $200 million for the Lima Letsema program is included in that program. Further for 2010-11, and in terms of the processes, business plans for these $200 million will now be subject into a process of evaluation. I think, BG, this is the questions, Mr. Chair, that deals with finance. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Isaac Michi. I'm going to deal with the staffing issues. The first one relates to forestry. The forestry component of the old dwarf was actually ring-fenced in total to be transferred to DAF, the current department. The only challenge there was regarding the support staff. But fortunately, even there, we had an agreement onto a ratio that is fair and make sure that none of the departments will suffer. So in total, we are going to transfer about 3,500 personnel from forestry. 3,500. When it comes to fisheries, their total staff complement currently is 868 people. Now, of those, in terms of the current proclamation, we are going to transfer 648. But if the ministers agree to have the full function of fisheries come to DAF, it means that we have to transfer 868 personnel. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Chairperson, my name is Deba Mtoba. I'm going to respond to the comments made by the Honourable Member in respect of the forest fires. And I must say that he is right in his observation that one of the greatest threats to the growth of the forest sector are the uncontrolled and forest fires that we are experiencing throughout the country. And most of them are due to human activity. Now, as a department, we are responding based on our mandate as defined in the Felt and Forest Fires Act. And we do so in collaboration with the Working on Fire program. One of our responsibilities is the establishment of fire protection associations. Those fire protection associations consist of landowners in affected areas. But one of the problems that we experience is around the resourcing of those fire protection associations. Because the fire protection associations have to develop what we call an integrated fire management plan, which informs the landowners in terms of how they should respond in the event of a fire occurring, but also during the fire season, or before the fire season, what it is that they should do in preparation for the fire season. Now, in the country, we have varied fire seasons. For example, in the Western Cape, most of the fires that we get here are during the summer season. In other parts of the country, it's winter. We get our fires in winter. Now, the fire protection associations are supposed to raise the awareness of their members about what needs to be done in preparation for the fire season, i.e. the burning of the fire belts, etc. And now, as a department, we've recognized the need to support and to capacitate the fire protection associations so that they can play an important role in terms of preventing these fires. And I must say, with the support and the collaboration with Working on Fire, a lot has been done in terms of prevention and suppression of those fires. I thank you, sir.
That's the last one. Okay.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. My name is Andre Shea. Thank you, DG. Honorable De Toy raised a very crucial point around the capacity to enforce and to deal with illegal fishing or poaching, as it's commonly called. In fact, the capacity has been identified as a major challenge to deal with enforcement, compliance, monitoring, and enforcement. We have a coastline of 3,100 kilometers. We have 250 fishery control officers. We have the four environmental protection vessels that are, and a few smaller craft that are working in the inshore. There's no doubt that 50% of the current operational budget is utilized for vessel operating costs. Escalating fuel prices, etc., has played a major role in pushing up the operational costs for these vessels. To give you a sense, just for this financial year, we budgeted 150 million rand for vessel operating costs, and just our projected expenditure, it seems like we will even go further than 153 million. We've now estimated for the coming financial year 10, 11, 12, 120 million. But in order for us to be fully effective, because it's not only the environmental protection vessels for enforcement, but also research vessels to do the necessary research on the marine living resources. So there is a major challenge. But we need to now look at innovative strategies. Now also, how do we get other conservation and law enforcement agencies on board? Because this department will never be able alone on its own to deal with illegal fishing or poaching. But this is a very crucial point. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thanks, DG, and your team for all the questions. I guess now we are certainly going to have a challenge, members, in terms of time. As I said, I'm very keen that we do go to that session with the industry, trading industry committee. Can I then make it that this that is coming becomes our last round? And if we can also limit our speaking time as we ask questions, I think that will also help us, all of us, as we move forward. And of course, accordingly, the department will play the ball. Let's give Mrs. Carter, who hasn't said a word since she came, and then I see Mr. Gaylor also having raised his hand, and then Mrs. Paliso, and then Mr. Pitoy, in that order.
Chairperson, correction. The second round, she didn't look at me.
My apologies.
No. I just want to refer back to the question of a training of a 3 to 6 months. I'm going to be very short. I just think there's one item that is crucial in training, and I'm not sure that whether it is covered under the managerial and processing skills, okay, under the managerial, and that is financial management. I believe that is crucial, and is that included in the training, and if not, can it be included? Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Geller.
Chairperson, I didn't want to take a bite, but let me take a bite. It looks all right, but have you got a warm body to fill it? The first. Secondly, your training of your extension officers, would we be able to sit here next year with your extension officers properly trained, because that is a very weakness in this department. Secondly, your research, I don't see much about research in the Okanagan. You know, the department has a major problem of funding projects that are not viable. For instance, you don't first go do a research, what would be good in this land here? You would simply just dump money without even knowing what should be planted, if anything needs to be planted. Where would you have that type of research in this Okanagan? Because that is very important. The government has lost a lot of money through the department dumping money on the projects that are not viable at all. In fact, it will never take off. Like even funds being bought that are totally useless and given to the people to use as agricultural land, but they are totally useless. The department hasn't done its homework. So how would we find that in this year? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. The first question is, while the department is briefing us that they will ensure that all resources that are dedicated to support the poor, both local and district areas of the country, are utilized effectively and economically, the use of such resources should be monitored in order to make sure that the department alleviates poverty and root out corruption while contributing to the country's economic growth. The department must give us details on how is it going to use this program's budget and monitor the illegal FEMA to ensure that 60% households in the CRDP sites are food security, secure, through self-efficiency. I'm talking about ownership. And also, acting DG, fisheries, I want to put this on record, must thoroughly be investigated. Otherwise, the status quo of corruption will prevail. With this, I ask a forensic investigation. How is the role of the chief director, chief information officer, different of that of the director of communication? Also, what is the difference between director of communication and director stakeholder and public license? And I also want to know, acting DG, there is a data of the marine living resources. What happened to that data? Because what I'm hearing now is that there will be now be a new one. What happened to the old one? We are involved in that in our local constituencies. It can't be it vanished out of the department. That can't be true, because it delays service delivery, it delays food security to our people on the ground. It can't be. We are going to do one thing over and over and every year. It can't be. also, I want to know in terms of the capacity and scale skills that the department is recruiting or looking for. Doesn't we have in this country a Department of Labor, a database of our skills in the country? Because the mines are retrenching people, big companies are retrenching. Doesn't we have skills in our own country?
Maybe if we, I hear what Ms. Palace is saying about, you know, some investigation into the department. I guess also MCM is not as yet in the department. Maybe that could be a bit of a far-fetched one for us to talk about investigation and so on and so forth as of now. Well, what I would propose you do, DG, if members allow, we rather, you know, write to MCM, have them come to our committee, and listening to what the members are saying here, we make it a priority as we move forward towards, you know, the implementation of the proclamation or proclamation kicking in, and we prioritize it in such a manner that we engage first and foremost with the MCM, rather than having, what's the word here, English word, cut before the horse. And we take that approach, and then we engage further on the issues emanating out of such an engagement. I hear myself on a tautology here, engaging with an engagement. But you understand exactly what I'm talking about. You know, it's my eighth language, English, so to speak. Are we fine with that? Do we have consensus on that specific one? As we engage here, we are also moving forward with some of the issues, rather than having to engage for sake of engagement. Just on this specific one. Mr. Dutoy? Mr. Gaylor? Are we fine with that? We are all okay. Okay, fine. Mr. Dutoy, and then noted Mr. Abram.
Thank you, Chairman. I'll be brief because I know everybody is rushed for time. Just one point on the commercial farmers and the organogram. If you look at the one, DDG, Economic Development, Trade and Marketing, now, it seems that if you would fit in a dedicated CD for commercial farmers somewhere in there, it would be on that one. That would actually make the other one a bit of a misnomer, which is agricultural production, health, and food safety. No, not that one. The one about food security. Now, if you look at food security, you say it's food security, but we know that it's just a name. But we know that the commercial farmers at this point is basically has got the biggest capacity to deliver that to the country. So forget about the name, but I think maybe you should think about this one. I think you should look at economic development, trade, and marketing, because that is interwoven with the commercial farmers. Don't you agree? So maybe you should think about that you should maybe have a dedicated one that's dealing with commercial farmers, and that specific need around that industry. Maybe focus on that, because here you might end up with a lot of the functions dispersed over all these small blocks. Think about that one. That's very important. And then I must point out to our fisheries people and our forest people, I'm very glad that these learned gentlemen have answered me well on that one. But I would really think that you should ask for more ships and more resources, because we are dealing here with a very scarce resource in the sea industry. If that gets wiped out, and there's a lot of illegal fishing from other countries, we know it, don't we? Now, where's the Air Force? Where's the Navy? Can we board ships? Can we, in fact, take ships, take trawlers, you know, and send the crews back on an airplane to wherever they come from and impound the ships if they're found in our waters? We are looking at our country first. So we must secure the sea resources. And we know the problems are from Scopa around the abalone and the coastal things. You have a big problem. Maybe we should start thinking about a specialized unit that can apprehend people from small boats offshore and vehicles inshore, and apprehend people, lock them up, and once you've locked them up, confiscated their stuff, then the process can go on. Maybe again as those courts that we're looking to reestablish. So I think you should budget for that. At least present the minister with it. Pass it to his shoulder that he makes a decision. But you have to tell us what is needed to protect us. The same with the forests. I know that there's companies, I've spoken to the guys, they have contracts where they work in the Western Cape now, and then they fly out and they do their things over there, private companies. We must really start looking. Shouldn't we have a firefighting department that's the backbone, a state backbone for these entities that you are trying to establish on the ground? That we have a core at least, but we've got. I think you also need more money, but you must address it. It's your responsibility. Pass it to the politicians to make the decision. You mustn't ask for too little money. I think if you look at a big budget. Your budget, if you have a substantial increase, is not going to be a killer.
Mr. Dutoy, I think you still live in a world of men. You talk about chairman, you talk about his minister, and, you know, you think that the minister is a he.
I'll rehabilitate myself.
Take time. Take time. Maybe it's a matter of taking something out of you, or you being out of something. we have a Mama Kala.
Thank you, Chair. On the presentation, page 27. On the structure of the DGs. There is a blog there that talks about DDG policy planning and monitoring and evaluation. Now, I would like to know, because we all know that that's the weakest point, the monitoring of the department. Now, what is it there in place in order to implement the monitoring part? How is it going to be done? Thank you.
Gigi, I did not hear a word in your presentation on climate change. Unless I was not listening. Given the fact that South Africa next year is hosting COP17, and we are literally in the midst of all of this whole negotiations on climate change, and agriculture, forestry, and fisheries, all of them, they are quite a key component in those processes, together, of course, with other departments, of course, energy being the lead, you know, agents of government. If it is possible, I hear somebody talking about abalone. We went to Hamburg.
Near Teddy.
Hamburg in Mushwa, not Teddy. The other day on the 1st or 2nd of February. Among others, there was an issue that we spoke together with the DDG about what is called total allowable catch. Okay. To a point where I have since heard that there has been a consideration being given, but only for, or rather on commercial. And there, it talks about subsistence. And as a result, therefore, the challenge that we have is that when we were there with the DDG, we did, for lack of a better one, promise those communities that there is certainly going to be a movement in that direction wherein they could be benefiting also out of the processes that the department is going through. But the latest that I have is that the decision that is there only talks about commercial abalone activity, not subsistence. If you could comment on that. I'm aware that is more of a detail in relation to this Maputo declaration and its targets of 10% of agriculture of the total budget. Is that, in your view, realistic, a target that South Africa did commit itself? Because we now are past the deadline of 2008. Is that realistic as we speak now? And we're not going to talk about the Millennium Development Goals, which are equally key, especially Mama Pelosi would have been about on food security. Because that Millennium Development Goal also talks about halving poverty by 2015 and so on and so forth. I'm not there, but I'm more about, you know, that specific one on the Maputo Declaration, that we, even on that MDGs, South Africa is also part of that as well. So.
Thank you, Chair. Some of my questions were not responded to. I would ask that they be responded to in writing, and I'm going to give you a few more questions which I would like you to respond in writing, at least within 14 days. What is the impact on agricultural production and food security of commercial farmers? I understand at least 2,500 who have now established themselves in other parts of Africa and elsewhere. At forestry, I think at CEFCO, two officials, senior officials, had earned so-called performance bonuses based on the fact that there was an increase in the value of the fixed assets of the enterprise. They used that as a bargaining chip to obtain bonuses. Whether this is true, if so, what are the relevant details? Ilima Letsema, we've heard of this program for a long time. We've never been told what the outcomes are. We've spent millions. We're spending millions again, you've budgeted for. Can you perhaps tell us what are the measurable outcomes? Have you researched this organogram that you put before us today, before arriving at what you have put before us? Because there seem to be a great deal of duplication. For example, you have international relations and then international marketing. Now, I don't know whether you need separate people to do all those things or separate divisions to do all that. In short, look at creating a more lean, mean, and functional organogram. Otherwise, you'll find people passing the buck over to the others. Finally, Chair, Mr. Venter has spoken about the report which is ready. I would like to know whether he can give us a date as to when that report can be tabled before us. Thank you very much.
Chairperson, mine will also be included in Salam's response. Chairperson, I asked this question.
Yes, I assure you, yours is going to be independent of
it. Okay. Chairperson, I asked this question in Environmental Affairs, and I was referred to Water Department of Water Affairs. And now I want to put it here because my belief is that we've got ARC that is responsible of researching in South Africa. We have got Lantana Camara and also Nest Brandy Alien Flowers. If you drive from Joburg to Tzaneen, where it's my town, along N1, you'll see a lot of Beth Brandy, purplish flowers. And in some farms, especially around Tabazimbi, one black farmer lost plus minus 8 to 9 cattle because of Lantana Camara. We all know that once a cattle eats Lantana Camara, it must just die. There's no other way. What is ARC doing about these alien plants? In Pretoria, there are a lot of alien plants, the jacaranda. We all know that jacaranda is not it's not our species. But what are we doing about it? Are you saying we should continue planting jacaranda, meanwhile it's not our species? Are we promoting it? Because if we don't deal with this Lantana and Beth Brandy, they will grow like jacaranda. And what is the role of us giving ARC if ARC cannot deal with this? We have got this, whether it's brittle black or brittle blue alien flowers. There's something like that. What is the department doing about it? While we are wasting a lot of money giving ARC to deal with the problems, and we are not dealing with the problems. The best nest chairperson is invading all vegetation. Makura Sloop will see it. And I don't know what is the department doing about it. Thank you very much.
Members, Gigi, I have a problem in following your Akonakura. Typically, legal services are a subject of corporate services. Now, here you have legal services under stakeholder legal services, DDG. I heard you when you spoke about stakeholder relations. You mentioned, among others, communication. And again, either communication is typically within corporate services, if not in the DG's office, because of its strategicness. That will include issues of stakeholder relationships. Because in that strategic office called DG, it is where you would wish to have the face, the public face of the department. I'll have to be convinced otherwise. And I also did hear you saying something about within the finance division having to have what is referred to as development finance. My understanding is that in corporate governance, you cannot disperse finances at the same time have something to do with those finances. In other words, having a business. Now, there you are going to be confronted with a serious conflict of interest. You are disbursing finances, you are also in charge of those finances at the same time. So those are activity type of finances that you are referring to, if I understand it very well, when you spoke about the development finance. Now, the two other issues that I have in mind relate to the lease agreements that are there on the forestry with your subtees of this world, your Mondis of this world. As far as I understand, those are very, very long-term agreements. What does the department have in mind about those? See, this could be questions that come in the form of written answers. And the last one, National Agriculture Marketing Council and ARC continue to be a baby of the department. Whether or not they are not able to operate all by themselves, ring-fenced out there, so that you have entities that also are able to make their own income by their nature. they are supposed to be. I have turned corrected. But even if they are not, I would imagine agencies of this nature, you know, are supposed to be all there by themselves, having their own governance issues and so on and so forth. Precisely because they have their boards, among others, as a factor that I would really wish to be engaged on these matters. I'm applying my mind as I'm listening as you speak now. I think that should be it for now. Thanks.
Chairperson, I just want the acting DCS page 33, the typing error of broad-based black economic and not BBEE, triple BEE. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. We have realized that some of the questions will need us to go back and do in-depth writing and submission. What we're going to do, we're going to scan through those that we can respond directly through now, and then overall provide a comprehensive report for everything that we've responded on, and then do that submission. I'll just quickly request that the support be provided in dealing with the following. In terms of the training, in the budget that we have allocated, it is inclusive of the managerial skills training. We are saying that in terms of that program, overall, we are including them. But what we have realized that the allocation is not enough. It is not enough, so we may expand on that. We have a look at that. The training and in terms of the extension capacity, we have started a program 2 years ago on the upgrading of the extension officials. We are taking them currently through university and technicals to upgrade their technical skills, because we have realized that they have a challenge in terms of their capacity. That's what actually makes them to be challengeable when they interact with the farmers, because of the technical background that they are having. So this program is going to come to a close at, I think, by 2012. And then by that time, we expect that most of them should have gone through the capacity building process. And then that, coupled with that, then we must provide a support package to them. They must have all the toolkit that allows them to be able to advise farmers on the spot, not to wait for tomorrow or another day, so that they are able to advise for each farmer that they encounter. Given that situation, we are then saying we need to provide them also with the capacity that is with our research institution. Because there is a lot of information there that has been packaged and it has to be made available to the farmer. So we want to do a very strong linkages with research and the farmer on the ground. And the agent to do that is the extension office. So he has to begin to interact with universities, research institutions, so that information that has been packaged there is made available. That's why then we are providing this service that we call extension support service, so that it begins to link those people, so that we improve the linkages of that information, so that it disseminates to the farmer at the end of the day. But we're going to provide the detailed information on that program, so that we are able to know what it is that we want to do in terms of that program. We also going to ask Mr. Swart Andile to provide us information about the detailed programs on the food security and ownership, and then the fisheries again is going to respond on not on the investigation but on the engagement. The issue of communication, Richard is going to respond on that one versus the stakeholders. And then the marine resource data, fisheries will deal with that capacity in terms of the scarce skills. Now, the issue of the scarce skills, it's a real issue with us. There are areas where we cannot find scientists in the country in terms of dealing with those areas. Your areas of engineering, your agricultural engineering, they are not available. We can't have them. Your veterinary services, they are not available. We have to find them somewhere. Your skills in terms of fisheries, there isn't any institution in the country that specializes in training people in fisheries. Most of them have to go and train outside the country and come back. So we don't have the people. We have to come up with plans in dealing with those skills so that we begin to get scientists that can deal with those areas. So it is a limitation for us to deal with that. The issue of commercial farms, if you look at the proposed organogram on page 33, the structure there begins to deal with an area that agro processing and marketing. Now, that last leg that deals with your domestic marketing. Your domestic marketing actually deals, these are the areas where your commercial farmer needs a lot of support in terms of your marketing. Your international market, that also deals mostly with your commercial farmers. To a certain extent, you also have to reorganize your smallholder farmers for international marketing. But the bigger majority that you're dealing with there is your commercial sector, also including agro-processing. Agro-processing means value adding on the farm, on the site, where you begin to clean your potatoes, you package them in your pocket so that they are ready for your market. So if we dedicate a commercial sector, that will be the area that you say you're providing support, because they need crisis, they need everything. Where is the market? How much is where? So that is the sector that says begins to focus to them, because that's the kind of information they are requiring and they want us to package and support them with. In terms of the commercial sector. Coastal protection resources, again, I think that was also an input, same as the working for fire, that we need more money on that. We will do so. We will package our proposal in terms of those two and indicate where the shortfalls are. Currently, you realize that most of the vessels are being underutilized because of financial problems. They remain not moving there because there isn't enough resources to utilize those vessels.
DG, the anti... what was that campaign again for the government not to engage in arms? The anti-arms deal campaign did away with all those, you know, prospective, you know, protection.
Yes.
So we no longer have any vessels now, and that was because of the campaign. I was told it was led by you.
I would suggest that we sell the jets, get marine aircraft and helicopters and a few ships that can do the job. But if I was a Minister of Defense, I would solve the problem.
They will respond on that one, and also Richard will also have to deal with the how part of the monitoring. We have got a very clear plan that has been developed in the president in how the monitoring is going to be done, based on the targets that are set, and then we have to make sure that each department set these targets, and then once you set a target, then it has to be monitored and reported at all. So there is a very clear plan in dealing with monitoring and evaluation from the coming financial year. That's why then we are putting up this unit so that we make sure that our monitoring is up to date, so that before the president do the monitoring, we have done the monitoring ourselves. The issue of climate change, yes, we have dealt with it, Chair. If you also go to page 36 of the organogram, there is a section there that deals with your issues of your climate change. Your resource management, the third block going down, it's climate change risk and disaster management. So it pulls and brings in the issues of climate change, so that we, because it poses a risk for us, so we have put it under that unit that also deals with your risk factors, so that you get all the early warning, what to plant, when to plant, what are the challenges that are coming in terms of they are going to be floods and so on and so on. So that unit has to do that early warning to the farmers and also to all the people that are interested. They deal with the allowable catch. Maputo declaration. I believe for the first time this year, after the new department that is called Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries, our total budget is 12%. So it could be that from this year we are achieving the 10% required from Maputo declaration. Given that, if we believe that agriculture, forestry and fisheries is a sector that is all together. The other challenge that we're having is that in terms of us reporting on budget allocated to agriculture in the past, is that the report has never been informed of the allocation by provinces. Then it became a challenge to report only the national budget to say, this is what is the contribution of government in terms of agriculture budget. So we wanted to include into that report what the provinces are allocating, because that figure was not informed by provincial allocation. So we are doing our own spade work in terms of where did we start actually to report on the figure, and then did it include the provincial allocation in terms of that. And then so that we then come back and say, yes, it did, and or it did not, and what was the figure supposed to be if it did not. So we are working on that report, Chair, so that we are in a position to do that.
Follow up, Chairperson. Chairperson, I would like to disagree with the DG. Because provincially, if we can take out CASP, MAFISA from the province will not run. Because the provincial budget can only cater for employees and no other project. So I don't understand when the DG says provincially they should account. I don't know how. Because I'm from the province. What they do is only on project. They only keep themselves busy on projects like MAFISA, CASPO, LRAD and whatever. Otherwise they don't have anything to do and their budget doesn't allow them. So I don't, can the DG explain to us? And the issue, Chairperson, of 10% on food security, that was over that was in 5-year term, from 2003 to 2008. And I think what the department need to do is to pressurize Treasury to give them money for this implementation of on food security. It was not a once-off thing, because other countries in 2006, they did give a report, and as South Africa, we did not. 2007, they did. The first one was on 10%. The second one, I don't remember whether it was on 6% or 8%, somewhere there. But as South Africa, we did not do that. It was not a once-off thing. It was a five-year thing. So that's why I'm saying, with your apology, Chairperson, to say I disagree with the DG.
Chair, that's why we need to, on that money bill, you see, that will also, you know, empower us more as we look into the budget itself, so that we are able to say to ourselves, not only now is the department expected to cry with the National Treasury, we also have a responsibility ourselves too.
Chair, I just need to make a point clear here. My understanding is that if you take the total economics cluster budget of this new budget, that is 12%. And that agriculture, fishery and forestry is less than 1% of the total budget. I think we must understand that clearly. Another point I wish to clear up, Chair, If you look at the number of people that are graduating from our universities, you have a variety of skills that those people graduate with. The problem is many are not working in the public sector environment. And they are then immediately poached by the private sector. And of course, South Africans are royal game. They are wanted in other parts of the world as well. What you need to do is check out why is it that many of our people, qualified graduates in the disciplines that you need them for, are not willing to work for us. And we need to find a response and we need to act on it. Thank you, Jay.
Okay. Mr. Dutoy, you seen the last one?
Thank you. DG, on page 33 of your organogram, I want to make a...
Can I say, members, this is meant to be a follow-up question without really opening up another third round so that we don't abuse the system. You can go on.
The cooperatives is going to be very important. I think that you haven't staffed this yet, have you, this department? You should take care about this because the cooperatives are going to be the key to your development of rural agriculture as well as the spin-offs on trade and marketing and so forth. There's a lot of success stories around this. I know the law has been changed, and my party will also introduce a couple of suggestions. I'm just worried that we at DTA, they're discussing it, but they're not discussing it here. So I think we should be in on that one, because this is very important. Cooperatives is going to be the key to it. In the former Soviet Union, they called it collectives, and there was no sharing of property or whatever. Israel had a kibbutz, but it was basically the same system. If we could go the cooperative way, people who have shares in their land and the place that they work, it's big enough, a unit, a cooperative could be like a commercial farm. So then you will have solved many of your problems on training and all those things.
Okay. I guess that was more of an emphasis on a point raised earlier on by one of the members here. Can we then try and round up? And I would want you, DG, when you conclude, if you could also just in summary, bullet point one, bullet point two, bullet point three, bullet point four, these are the new priorities or priorities to be aligned with the budget so that we all come out of the session clear as to where we're heading for.
Well, thank you, Didi. The question around the difference, again, between public liaison, communication, stakeholders, and public liaison. Ideally, our approach to this one was such that when we did an analysis before the structure, there was a realization that there's a need for consolidation of the stakeholders. In this case, we're talking about organized agriculture, forestry, and fisheries. You would even go further to look at industry players and all that. Work has been done for the past about 5 years or so. We have also even, I think, institutionalized that setup. But the idea was to upscale it, to communicate with them and ensure that they understand the programs of government. Second, also, for issues around partnerships and all that. That's what stakeholder and public liaison tries to do. Whereas communication then would do the normal day-to-day communication exercise of the department. That was the thinking around these two. Now, the monitoring, the three as they appear in the structure, the first one being the organizational performance, is the one that looks at the individual performance. It's from the established SMS performance system, which has been put together by DPSA. is to consolidate that and look at it to ensure that performance is enforced at an individual level. Now, the second one is to look at the provincial departments of agriculture, because that's where service delivery is taking place. The performance with as far as projects are concerned on the ground and other programs. To also look at the SOEs. Whereas the last one is to consolidate now impact on the ground in terms of the sector performance, the general statistics and all that. So already the plans are in place in that one.
Thank you, Chair. Mr. Abrams, on the report on our contractors, I take the responsibility to take it up with my colleague, Mr. Jacob Sesuayo, so that as soon as possible, we try within 2 weeks to submit the report to the committee. Otherwise, we will let the committee know next week the specific date to submit the report. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Regarding Litsima, our initial investment in those projects were big projects within the provinces where our interest was to ensure that those projects have got proper infrastructure, like irrigation system, improvement of drainage in those areas so that farmers can be able to expand their area of production and others can be able to engage in production. I think that is done. I can provide a background on how much money has been spent in the provinces. And then what impact has it got, as it had now in terms of food security? I know some of the projects were mostly building infrastructure and also agro-processing like the robust tea in Northern Cape. I think I can provide a written report with full background on that. And also the issues of monitoring of the system. We've just been focused on using the monthly report that was provided by the province. But we can give a summary of what has happened. And then regarding the impact of food security reinvestment to other areas, I think at the present moment I don't think I can be in a position to justify the answer that I can give. But what I can do, I can research with my colleagues and find out what impact has it got, because I think they do have a track on what is happening on those issues. Because I know with us, with the commercial sectors, we've been focusing more on issues of high level in terms of improving the food security. They did provide us with their submission on that, of which we are responding to that. And then, okay, if I may just comment on Lantana Kamara. I think Lantana Kamara is part of the land care. Each province has got its priorities in terms of which areas of need to be focused on. I can check with the province which are affected by Lantana and the extent of Lantana. You may find that the extent was not justifying for them to make it a priority area. But I'm aware of the dangers of Lantana. I can provide you with the extent of Lantana in the country, which provinces have got the biggest impact on that. Thank you.
Chairperson, your comment regarding the long-term timber supply contracts has been noted. And I must say that this is one of our greatest concerns as a department, i.e. the cancellation of those contracts. Currently, we have, I think, about two contracts that we're working on. So we are looking at the legalities for the cancellation, but we'll provide you with a written response to the issues that you've raised. Thank you.
Okay,
fine.
Thank you, Chairperson, DG. Chairperson, we would welcome a session with the Portfolio Committee and MCM, and I think that will provide more clarity, and I think it will also give the honourable members also an opportunity to engage and get further clarity and ask questions. Honourable Chair, you asked about the abalone issue. You are quite correct. The decision for consideration before the minister soon is about a commercial abalone fishery. And the commercial abalone fishery extends from St. Helena Bay, which is in fact Cape Columbine, to roundabout Quinn Point, which is Hunts Bay. It has a 580-kilometre of biological geographical extent, and that's where the resource occurs biologically. in Eastern Cape, there had been in the past subsistence permits issued to a variety of organisms, including traditional lionfish, including some of the small invertebrates, including abalone. The department has committed, because there is an issue around what is the stock status, so that you can determine what should be the harvestable amounts for fishes in those particular areas. And the department has committed that we will do the necessary research in that regard, so that we can determine what is the stock levels. With regard to Honorable Du Toit's suggestion, we also welcome the support that the Portfolio Committee will give in connection with funding. And yes, the partnerships with the Navy, with the South African Defense Force, with South African Police Services, and with the Department of Justice, that process has already begun, including the training of magistrates so that they can deal with these kinds of environmental crimes. I mean, we've seen the situation with abalone, where we have highly sophisticated crime syndicates involved, and that goes beyond the capacity of our fishery control officers. What the Honourable Member asked about the marine data, I just need some clarity, because I don't know the exact data the Honourable Member is referring to. But if I could get Chair the clarity on that, maybe I could respond. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. In summary, the issues that the Chair has raised on the issue of the structure, in terms of the legal being a corporate, and also the issue of stakeholder relations versus communication. We have looked at the issues, and we looked at the extent of the work. We realized that if we put it in the office of the DG, it's going to be very cumbersome because of the extent of work. So we have dedicated to a level of a DDG. For stakeholder relations, you've got a lot of CEOs outside there that would like to engage with the department. And if we put it at the DG's office, it becomes a nightmare to meet with those people. So we've dedicated a person to deal with the stakeholder relations, that's the whole sector relations, your agriculture, forestry, and fisheries, because it's become too huge to be centralized in the DG's office. So that is the one area that we have realized. The issue of legal is the issue of your review that you have to deal with. It needs a lot of capacity also. And then that's why then we have decided, let's isolate these two, pull them together, and dedicate them specific DDG to deal with them, because of the seriousness that they need to be given the attention. So we had looked at that. And then the issue of the development finance in terms of the disbursement. We know most of our development finance get transferred to the province, or to the all we're saying, we need to pull the money together into the structure, and we've got a unit that is dedicated and looking at our development finance, and we can report properly to say what went where, for how much, and what for what purpose, so that we are able to report to Treasury and to everybody in terms of how we're utilizing, and then we can monitor the impact of that. We're not dispersing it ourselves, but we want to keep the control and to be tied to be able to deal with that. Lastly, Chair, in terms of our strategic focus, we're saying there are four areas that we want to deal with, four critical strategic areas that we want to say as a department allocate resources to implement. The one area, we're saying we want to deal with the employment and economic growth. Employment and economic growth, we'll be setting ourselves key targets in terms of employment and the areas where we want to create jobs. And then the area of economic growth, that's why we want to invest money that it's going to make impact in terms of economic growth. So that is our strategic area number one. The second one is the one that deals with your sustainable
rural development in terms of communities. That's the one, our impact in terms of rural development. The one that we're going to be working together with the Department of Rural Development and Settlement. So we're saying we want to make sure that they are vibrant, equitable, and sustainable rural communities. It's where our food security issues are going to be lying. We make sure that we provide that support to those rural communities, provide them a stepping stone to move towards being economically viable. That's the focus area number two. The third one, we're saying we want to go to an area of enhancing environment and the natural resources. The area where we're working in terms of agriculture, we are dealing with very sensitive resources. Our land, our water, and also the atmosphere that we're working in. So we're saying we want to make sure that we don't deplete those resources, but we use them sustainably, we protect them so that they continuously produce. We know that the Environment Department will provide an oversight on us to make sure that we are dealing with those sustainable use of natural resources. They're going to talk to us if they are seeing we are exploiting, but we are putting ourselves to say we have a system that will make sure we're going to deal with the issue of green jobs so that we are within the sustainable use of resources. And the fourth one, which is the last one, is the issue of economic infrastructure development. We are saying for us to be able to make a meaningful impact in terms of development, we want to invest in economic infrastructure development so that we are able to create jobs also in that regard and to make sure that agriculture makes a contribution to the economic returns of the country. Those are the areas that we are saying the four strategic focus areas that we want to spend the money on and put outcomes and activities and allocate the budget around those four. Thank you, Chair.
I would have given the time, asked a simple, very, very simple question as we perhaps shall have concluded. You know, DG, there's a program on SABC 2 at around 4 or 5 a.m. on agriculture. And I'm informed that the department is pumping money into that program. I don't know how much, 2 million a year or something to that effect. And the simple question for me is who listens or who watches that?
One Saturday, maybe.
Every day. The simple question there is, I mean, the point for me of concern there is people are still sleeping at times. And yet there is money that goes out there all the time. Is that a private or a public? I know it's on SABC 2, but whose program is that? Is that a privately owned program or is that a publicly owned program? If there is no answer to that, either for me, we change the slot, or we simply cancel that, because it's a waste of money.
Yeah, Chair, can I request that I don't respond on it because of the fact that we are engaging in a forensic audit? So on that end.
The data is 2001, 2002, 2003, 2004 with the Oceana vessels. They were collecting data for the department, and also Rhodes University was involved in the Dr. Warwick Sawa. Thank you.
Members, we seem to have come to a close on this session. We are certainly going to follow up on the MCM as a matter of urgency, and I would propose that we do that as of next week. That will then replace a workshop we had agreed upon on money bills, precisely because of the importance of this issue that we are dealing with. And then also what we will do next week, we will also take through the minutes of past meetings. And I would urge all members to go through those minutes so that when we come to a session next week, we don't start from scratch in Reading. I tell you that we all did receive those minutes.
Yes, Chairperson.
And secondly, we also do go through the program itself that we'll also have to adopt as a committee. And also, assuming that everybody did receive a draft program.
Agreed.
From the committee secretary.
Yes,
we did receive.
Yes, Chairperson.
So I'd wonder if next week, members, we deal with those three areas. Just to dispense off with the whole administration, related to minutes and also adoption of the report, and then focus our work and our time on the MCM, and then we take it from there. Thanks. We are free to go to E249. The program finishes off at 6 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Comrade John Pops has said. I'm reminded by the researcher members that the report on the oversight visit has been circulated as well.
Yes, Chairperson.
And then we'll also have to, I'm not too sure how we go through that one because it's quite a bulky report. I don't think we'll be able to deal with it next week. Okay, we're done. Thanks.